of the Holy Spirit. How many of you want to know more about the Holy Spirit? Well, that's why we're teaching on this. But you do understand that no one in this natural earth will know all there is to know about the Holy Spirit. No preacher, no Bible teacher, no pastor. No one will know everything about the Holy Spirit because He is God, okay? So the Bible gives us the parts that we need to know. We don't have to speculate. We don't have to guess. The Bible is written in a way that if you will open your heart and allow the Spirit of God, because the Holy Spirit is your teacher. Now, I'm standing up here as a physical teacher allowing the Holy Spirit to use me. But you see, if you will allow the Holy Spirit to teach you, you can know all the things that you need to know, and they're in the Bible. A lot of times people want to go to other books and learn about the Holy Spirit. Now, we're going to learn the ways of the Spirit, the ways that God moves with the Holy Spirit in the earth. In fact, as we read, let's go back and read Acts chapter 13, because let's learn about the Holy Spirit, because remember what I said a while ago? That was just an unction by the Spirit. We need to learn about the most important person you will ever meet in your life. How many think it's important? You can't even begin to imagine if your parents would have taught you about the Holy Ghost at age 2. You didn't even get that yet. The most important person you will ever meet in this earth is the Holy Spirit. And just think, some of you had to wait years and years and years to meet Him. And there's a lot of Christians, I'm talking about the body of Christ, that's never met the Holy Spirit. No, I'm serious. There is a lot of churches today that don't allow the Holy Spirit to be in them. Listen to me. There are Christians that are just trudging through this life. They're just holding on to everything they can to keep from going back into the world. Some of them go back in the world. They can't attend church consistently. They can't pray consistently. They can't get excited about the things of God. Listen, that's not the way the Holy Spirit wants you and I to live. Amen? If He's the most important person we'll ever meet in this life, then it would be very well served for you that do have children to start talking to your children about who the Holy Spirit is as young as 2 years old. Now, some of your kids are already older than that. And some of your kids get up and they get grown, but they don't know who the Holy Spirit is either. And then we wonder why they do the things that they do. How many know the Holy Spirit, if you have a relationship with Him, you'll stay on track. You will not drift very far off of center if you have a holy, holy relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible I read says He will lead us and He will guide us. He will teach us and He'll even show us things to come. And so in Acts chapter 13 is where we begin. We just been waiting on the Spirit of God and allowing the Spirit of God to manifest and let Him demonstrate what He desires to do in the church. Amen. Do you believe that the same Holy Spirit that began the church in the book of Acts is still the same Holy Spirit today? Do you believe that Acts chapter 28 ended the work of the Holy Spirit?
No
way. We're in Acts chapter 29. Right? I mean, the same Holy Spirit. Well, isn't it strange that the Holy Spirit began the church in power? And here we are in 2009, some 2,000 plus years after the resurrection, and the church, by and large, most churches are deader than a doornail, colder than an Eskimo's hut. I said hut. But thank God, we're not going to allow that to happen here. See, I came from a generation that believed in allowing the Holy Spirit to move in the church. Amen. So as long as I'm your pastor, and as long as God has me here, I'm not going to let us forget that. And that's why God has put in my heart, through prayer, through fasting, to teach some of you young whippersnappers about the move and the moving of the Holy Spirit. Amen. How the Holy Spirit moves. We're going to get around to it. I don't know how long it's going to take, but I'm not worried about that because I don't worry. But we want to look at how the Holy Spirit moved in the book of Acts. Because in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit moved on just regular people. Amen. Remember, I showed you the title of the book of Acts says the Acts of the Apostle. What are y'all doing? But it's really the acts of the Holy Spirit in the church through the believer. Amen. Because I read in my Bible, in the book of Acts even, that the Holy Spirit came upon people that were not apostles. Amen. Stephen was not an apostle, right? And those daughters of that man that prophesied, they were not an apostle. Okay, so what we have to come to an understanding is that the Holy Spirit wants to move in you. Amen. Now let me share something else, because I don't know again how far I'll get in this, but I'm just being led by, I'm just flowing, okay? Just say flow.
Flow.
Okay? They were ministering. The reason I had you turn to Acts chapter 13 too, we've been trying to read that for 3 weeks. They were what? They were ministering to the Lord. So obviously, ministering to the Lord creates an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit. That's what we've established so far. I think we've got that point down, right? That we have to create an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to move. Now, creating that atmosphere is produced by worship, by praise, and also, if you notice, they fasted. Now, I've been talking to you about if you want the Holy Spirit to influence your life, to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you're going to have to be a man or a woman of prayer, and you're going to have to fast occasionally. Because if you notice, that's a pattern. They fasted. And when they fasted, the atmosphere was there for the Holy Spirit to move. Yes. Now, no one's got a handle on all the ways that the Holy Spirit moves. All we can do is look in the Bible and see how the Holy Spirit moved at certain times under certain environments. Now, when I say fasting, because I've had people tell me, Pastor, yeah, but what if medically we can't fast? Well, maybe you can't fast food because of whatever my condition might be, but listen, you probably should be able to fast at least one meal.
Yes.
But there's other things that you can fast. Amen. And I think I pointed this out. You can fast some other things that you like to do. You know, fast TV. Fast your cell phone. Man, oh, really? I don't think I... No, because, look, fasting And we've done some teachings. I don't want to get in too much on that. But you do know, and some of you are new, fasting does not move God.
Amen.
When you fast, it is you putting something down so something else can rise up.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Fasting is putting the flesh and its desire down so that it makes you more responsive to the Holy Spirit. Everything tonight, the word of the Lord was coming, was about yielding, about following the prompting of the Lord. Now here's something else. Even most Pentecostal people or Spirit-filled people get an idea that the Holy Spirit only moves one way. And that He only moves in church. No, I'm just telling you, that's the way most people think, unless we're running and jumping and shouting, then the Holy Spirit didn't move. No, you didn't get it. See, the way some people think is if we have a service like we had tonight, we were ministering to the Lord, and the Lord did some things, and we just yielded to the Spirit of God, and we got excited, and, you know, some of them were, you know, getting down. Well, some would say, well, wasn't the Holy Ghost moving? But I want to point out to you, that's not the only way. It's one way that the Holy Ghost moves.
Amen.
But if the only time you move in the Holy Ghost is at church, then you're very immature as a Christian.
Amen.
See, the Holy Ghost ought to move on you at other times outside the church. Now, I've been in my office, I've been out, and I just begin to lift my hands up, and I begin to get excited about the Lord because the Lord's showing you something or revealing something, and I've got very excited just by myself.
Amen.
Outside the church.
Amen.
Now, how many of you jump and holler and shout and just dance outside the church?
Amen.
I don't mean at the cantina or the... I'm talking about how many of you do that outside the church?
Amen.
No, really. Really, think about it. That's why people get the idea that the only place the Holy Spirit can move is in the church. But see, I'm trying to teach you the Holy Spirit, and I'm trying to show you that the Holy Spirit wants to move in you outside of the church. That's where the hurts are. That's where not that they don't come in here, but if they come in here for any length of time at all, they will get what they came for.
Amen.
They will get healed. They will get delivered. They will get set free.
Amen.
I was thinking the other day, you know, we're teaching on this moving into our wealthy place, and I was telling somebody, I said, just take anybody in this church that has been here for at least 5 years. At least 5 years that have been consistent. I'm talking about consistent in their attendance, consistent in their faithfulness, consistent in their tithing, their offering, etc. Take anybody in this church and see if they have not advanced from when they came in. Now I'm talking. Now you bring me somebody if they've been here consistently doing those things and they have not advanced. I double dog dare you. Now think about it. Think how you have advanced. I'm not talking about wishy-washy saints. I'm not talking about, you know, wilted saints. You see, some saints are wilted, you know. But listen, we've been called to lift our hands to the Lord. Amen. We've been called to give praise to our God. Amen. We've been called to walk consistently. Because we don't always feel like coming to church. We don't always feel like praying. We don't always feel like giving. The flesh don't always feel like serving God. But you get victory over those things. Okay? So I said all that to say this, is that the Holy Spirit wants to be as much a part of your life outside the church as in the church. Now, if you're not doing some victory shouts and dancing and, you know, praising God outside the church, there's something wrong.
Amen.
Now, God's never, I'll just say this. God has never, I've never been in the grocery store and just started, hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory to God. No, he's never let me do that. But he has, in the grocery store or someplace like that, led me to go talk to somebody. You see? But he's not going to embarrass you or embarrass somebody else, because the Holy Spirit doesn't do that. All I'm trying to say is that you have to understand that there's more to the Holy Spirit than just in the four walls of a Spirit-filled or a Pentecostal church.
Amen.
But there are those, because of their agendas and because of lack of understanding, have decided that they don't need the Holy Spirit in the church any longer. And then they wonder, if you read, and I don't advise you to fill your mind up with that stuff. I just happened to check the homepage of MSN today, and you'll find that Christianity was on the decline. Did anybody see that? I mean, you know, front little square there of advertisement. There was an article. I hadn't even read all the article, but it's talking about how it's declined over the years. And it was a response or an indirect effect to something our president said earlier in the week, that the United States is no longer a Christian nation. It's a nation of ideas. Well, I have an idea that there is only one way by which men can be saved. There is only one road that leads to heaven. Amen. There's only one true God by which men can be saved, and his name is Jesus. And this nation, along with a lot of other people in the world, are about to celebrate the resurrection power of the living God. Amen. But it was the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead those 2,000 something years ago. Is the same Spirit that quickened your mortal body. He made you alive.
Amen.
And when the day, and we still ain't going to get to read all this stuff. Man. Flow, 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 flow. Well, you got nowhere to go to flow. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, I will read that to you. That ain't on my agenda, but we'll read it. Did we read Acts 13 yet? Well, you know what it says. This is a Wednesday night bunch. See, this is the core. That's why I tell you, this ought to be the most exciting night of your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, now look. Because here's where people get, again, they get mixed up because they start focusing on things that God don't focus on. How many know whatever God wants you and I to know, he put it in here?
Amen.
And they take Genesis chapter 1 and they begin to read, in the beginning God created the heaven and earth. How many know that God created the heaven and earth?
Amen.
We didn't come from monkeys. We didn't come from the scum under the rock. Your great grandfather wasn't born in a zoo. Unless he was a zookeeper. All right? And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Now stop there just a moment, because here's where people start injecting. Well, what happened? Why was that? How many of you realize it's really none of our business? If God wanted us to know, he would have put it in there.
Amen.
I mean, I got enough stuff to stay busy, just what he put in here.
Amen.
Instead of trying to think about where did the dinosaurs come from.
Amen.
Our prehistoric. You see what I'm saying? They get off into all these other things. For why? We start focusing on things that God is not focused on.
Amen.
Now, let me tell you what God is focused on. Read the rest of the verse. It says, and the Holy Spirit was moving, or the New King James, hovering over the face of the earth. Now, this is what God is interested in, because right here in the book of Genesis, if you believe your Bible, creation 6,000 years ago, give or take, listen, the Holy Ghost was moving in the earth. You know what? 4,000 years later, Jesus came and walked in this natural earth as a man. He went to the cross at Calvary, took upon Himself sin, who knew no sin, who became sin, that we could become the righteous of God, hung upon the cross at Calvary, paid the price in full. The devil took Him to the bowels of this earth, thought he had got Him and captured the very Son of God. But God raised Him up from the dead, amen, and Jesus is alive forevermore. I get excited because I'm thinking about Easter now. Are you with me? Same Holy Spirit. Now, what is God interested in? God is interested in the Holy Spirit moving across the earth. Why? Because He moves in the hearts of people. He moves in the hearts and lives of people. That's the way they get saved. That's the way they get healed. That's the way they get revelation. So the Holy Spirit was moving 6,000 years ago. And here we are in 2009. And guess who's still moving? The Holy Spirit has not been retracted. He has not went anywhere. He's still in the earth. And we're going to get in. I really want to get in this way because I want to show you the ways of the Spirit. How He moved. Now, He moved a little different in the Old Covenant, and He moved a little different in the New Covenant. Because in the Old Covenant, well, it was a different covenant, right? But in the New Covenant, not only do you have the Holy Spirit, and this is where people get, you know, they don't read their Bible, I guess. They get mixed up. And think, well, yeah, I got saved. I got the Holy Spirit. Yeah, you got the Holy Spirit. But read what happened. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1:8, He said, after the Holy Ghost has come, what? Upon you. You can have the Holy Spirit in you because you can't be saved without the Holy Spirit. Are you here? But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be influenced by the Holy Spirit. Amen. How many of you just see the difference right there? Amen. How many know what it means to be under the influence? Amen. Some of you used to be under the influence, right? Yeah, brother. And that's why when you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, what happens? Things look to the natural like you're weird. You're drunk. You're something, you know. You're not normal. Well, there isn't nothing normal about the Holy Spirit, right? There is nothing normal about the Holy Spirit. And so, we get filled with the Holy Spirit, and then we come under the influence. And there's a difference. If you never come under the influence of the Holy Spirit, then you will never move in the supernatural. And if you never allow the Holy Spirit to influence you through the baptism, what we call the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, you won't see much or even know much or even ever experience much about the supernatural move of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, we live in an era, and I'm quitting. Listen, we live in an era where the most popular movies, I was thinking about this, the most popular, I don't watch them because I think they're generic, but they are generic power. You know, like Superman, Spider-Man, what's those other? Batman. And what do? They appear to be supernatural because they have supernatural powers and strength. But these young people, man, they flock, and some of you older ones too, don't you? Batman, Superman. What was the other one? Iron Man. Hulk. Incredible. But you see, that's generic power. We're talking about real power. We're talking about Holy Ghost power. We're talking about the one that Peter and John said, hey, silver and gold, I have none, but such as I have, get up and come on. Let's get in boogie, man. Let's get up and walk. So, come on, stand up on your feet. I we'll get there. Say, we'll get there. Because I want to go back and show you the scriptures of what I'm telling you. Because I tell you all these things so you can learn the ways of the Spirit, but you'll have scripture to back what I say. I remember reading in that book, Brother Hagin's book, about he would have these Holy Ghost meetings. I told you about that Plans, Purposes, you know, the book that he wrote about the Holy Ghost services and how God showed him that there would be coming a generation of churches that would grow up that never experienced a move of God. And those things literally have come to pass today. There are churches that do not allow or accept the Holy Spirit to move in their church. I remember him one time, he said, he was in a Holy Ghost service, and he really felt like jumping and shouting and hollering. I mean, everybody else was doing it. And for some reason, the Spirit of God, he said, I wanted to do it. I wanted to enter in like everybody else was. But he said the Spirit of God wouldn't allow him to jump and shout and holler at that particular time of the service. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God said, see that person in the back? They're in a wheelchair. He said, I want you to call that person up, and I want you to lay hands, and the gift of healings is going to work through you, and that lady's going to get up out of that wheelchair, and she's going to walk. And so he just made a point that if I would have been jumping, shouting, and hollering because my flesh wanted to do that, man, I was just feeling the thing. He said, everybody would have been blessed. You would have been blessed, and the other people would have been blessed, but that lady would have left the same way. See? So that's why we have to learn to yield. Say yield. We have to learn to yield to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. But it's not just, and that's the other mistake, it's not just for the pastor. That's why I stop sometimes just to see if somebody else is yielding. Because I believe God wants to use everyone in here. If you're full of the Holy Ghost, do I have anybody full of the Holy Ghost? Then there's no reason in this world why the Holy Spirit will not use you in the gifts of the Spirit. And you may have something. You may have something from God. So you have to be in that environment. And that environment has to be created.